Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
You're listening to a new episode of Lather Talk, and I'm your host, John, a.k.a. Lather Hog. My co-host, Gerard, is with me. Hey, Gerard.
Hey, good to be back.
And our guest for today is a friend of the show. You might have heard him in previous episodes, but he hasn't been on this season yet. It's none other than our friend, Ross McBee, a.k.a. Nova Shaves on Instagram and some other places. What's up, Ross? Thanks for joining us tonight.
How's it going? Yep, thanks for having me. Appreciate it.
And because, you know, Gerard, Ross, and I, we chat outside the podcast fairly regularly. We just kind of launched into conversation today. So I'm not sure in the post-production how much of our pre-intro chat will remain, but that's a little peek into, you know, we kind of let our hair down, as it were, and just chat about life, but also chat about shaving. Definitely the shaving parts should be left in there. But this episode will be fairly loose and free, but there's one topic we might as well start out on, and it's kind of the reason we specifically asked Ross, because this is definitely a thing where hobbyists, if you've been, you know, let's say a year plus, I think you might have come across this. But you know, it's basically what happens when the thrill is gone, and this can be for any hobby, but because this is a wet shaving podcast, that's the subject we're talking about. And I think it's best probably to kind of, Ross, let you tell your story. So I'm not sure if you kind of want to just bring us in the past, like it might even be the past year or two, right? Where it's like wherever you want to start, where kind of the chasing, right? Or maybe even just like keeping up with like what's coming up, like kind of slowed down to a trickle. And I remember when we were talking about it, and you were kind of just letting a beard grow at one point. But just, you know, for our listeners who, you know, for those especially who might be right now like, oh, maybe they're not as infatuated with the hobby, I think we'd love to hear your story today.
Right. Well, yeah, I think ironically it may have coincided with the start of COVID. You know, that really, I mean, for me personally, it didn't have too much of an impact initially. You know, I think we've all been affected by COVID in our own way. But you know, for me, something around that point, it just kind of slowed down. It wasn't really anything in particular that I feel like kind of trickled or led to that, impact, but that's just kind of how it played out. And then really more so in 2021, which 2021 was a different story. The end of last summer, I was very near unemployment. So that was, you know, pretty alarming for me, and a big point in life, and priorities were certainly different at that time. And it just, from really, it was kind of at that point that I really kind of feel like, I don't want to necessarily say that thrill was gone. It's just that things just kind of naturally just digressed and just went in a different direction than it normally had been. Okay. So, you know, back in the fall, like you mentioned, I had started toying around with growing a beard, which I've actually done plenty of times in the past. It's just nice. It kind of just is different. I like to switch it up every now and then. You know, I don't like life to get too complacent. So, you know, I started growing it in, I want to say, mid to late October. And then, I was actually, you know, I was maintaining it pretty well. And, you know, I was still trying to use the product that I had every now and then to keep it shaped up and looking clean and nice. And yeah, so, you know, back in late February, I just kind of woke up one day and I just felt like it was time for it to go. And so, you know, the that 4 months of growth was gone in about 15 seconds once I took some clippers to it. But, you know, I had some fun along the way. I did leave the stash temporarily. And, you know, I took some pictures just to post, just to, just to get a rise out of people. And, you know, I figured I would get laughs if nothing else, but a lot of people seem to have really enjoyed the stash and thought I should have kept it. So, you know, maybe I'll try it again sometime in the future.
We'll post pictures of the stash on the video portion of this.
Oh yeah, I'll have to get that photo.
You could have used that thing to balance on a tightrope. You know what I mean? That thing was magnificent.
Yeah, I mean, I'm telling. I think I've mentioned it maybe in some of my reviews too, but like my mustache area in particular, like my facial hair is already thick as it is, but my mustache is like the thickest part by far. So it fills in good. So it is definitely nice and full. But I got to a point too where, you know, I could take wax to it and give it a nice curl, and I probably should have done that before I took it all the way down. But I joked around with my wife, you know, when I had the beard, and she was not a fan of, you know, the wax and the curl and all that. But, you know, she's usually not a fan of facial hair anyway. But she told me after the fact that the beard was starting to grow on her, which, you know, insert dad joke, you know, but she told me that, and I was really surprised. So I guess in the future, if I grow it, then I don't have to worry about any moans and groans from her.
More dad jokes I'm not gonna say it, but well, you always have next winter, right? Like, it maybe bring it back, or bring back the beard, or just bring back the stash. I thought you pulled off the stash very well as well, so I'll vouch for that.
That's what she said.
There you go.
I appreciate it. Yeah. You know, and the thing too, you know, I've actually tried to grow just the mustache by itself before, and it does not look nearly as good in the early stages. So I definitely think it's better to just grow out the whole beard first and then take it down.
Okay.
So that's likely what will happen again, is I'll grow it all out. And then once I take it down, we'll see how the stash is.
How were your sons? What was their reaction to the facial hair?
They complain more early on, you know, if I like give them a hug or something, you know, like, oh, you're scratchy, which ironically is, you know, now that I'm back to shaving more regularly, they still, you know, if I don't shave after like a day or two, that, you know, they're complaining about it. But, they definitely had some comments on the stash more than anything. Yeah. And then, you know, I didn't tell them when I was taking it down. So, you know, I'd left the stash initially, and they looked a little puzzled and then just started laughing, and yeah, they got a kick out of it.
That looks stupid, Daddy.
Well, it's funny enough. When I, back in 2020, when I had grown it out, the first time that when I actually took it down, my dog didn't recognize me. Oh. And so she just was like barking at me, which, you guys know, but for those that don't, I have a Great Dane, and so she's got kind of that loud, just it can pierce your ears, you know, once she really you know, lays into you. So she's just sitting there just looking at me and just barking at me like I was some stranger. Took a little while for her to realize, like, yeah, it's just me.
All right, so thanks for kind of bringing us on that journey, and I think it really stood out to me, like, when the financial factor, because you know, it's kind of that whole time was kind of a blur anyway, because, you know, we're talking throughout that, but that's such an important thing to mention, and it's a good reason, because we I think last episode when we were talking to Todd and Andy from Take Care Men, we're joking around about budget free, you know, buying freezes and whatnot. But when it comes down to, like, yeah, you know, like job stability and just like other, you know, just other changes, maybe medical bills and whatnot, I mean, that's a very real real reason to take a break, take a step back. So, I don't know. I just wanted to acknowledge that, and you know, thanks for mentioning that. I think sometimes, even when that stuff happens, some people don't know when to pump the brakes. So
yeah, I think in a way we've all kind of seen it, you know, in our time in the hobby, you know, people that come and go, or people that,
yeah,
you know, are really going balls to the wall in the early stages. And then it just like, it just kind of hits them and, you know, then they're pumping the brakes. And it, I mean, it's, our hobby is no different than any other hobby, you know, in that sense. And it's just, there's definitely just the awareness factor and just kind of being cognizant of it and staying within your means, and also just knowing when maybe it's time to decompress, you know. Another part of it, you know, that was just kind of just a little bit of, you know, the last couple of years, but, you know, I think going into COVID too, and at the start of it, I kind of noticed a little bit of what I would deem a little bit of toxicity throughout the community too, which is not how, you know, I've really known it to be since I started. And so that, you know, in a way was a little bit deflating, and it kind of took me away from, you know, some of the social media groups that I'd been a part of. And, you know, even over the last couple of years, I've kind of found myself slowly removing myself from certain groups, and, you know, it just kind of centralizing my focus on certain ones that I feel like, I don't want to say align with my views per se. It's not really that at all, but just that they're a little bit more mellow. You know, I need mellow and more chill in my life than anything. It's just, you know, the world is just, it's too chaotic out there, right? Like there's just, you don't want to have to deal with that stuff, you know, outside of, you know, your day to day. It's, you know, it's all over the news. It's all around us. But so, you know, when we come into this realm of wet shaving, this is supposed to be relaxing. It's supposed to be kind of our getaway, our escape. And, you know, that's kind of, that's my view on the hobby at this point.
Absolutely. It's sometimes, you know, we, a lot of us, I don't want to say forget why we do this, but, you know, once we kind of remember, we do it just for like the kind of the therapeutic aspect of it, or, you know, the you know, maybe having to take a photo for the shave of the day, or maybe having to post it to all of the social media things, and or having to talk about it with other people. Sometimes you just want to shave, you know, and I can definitely relate to that. And I don't post all of my, you know, my shaves, you know, as much as I used to, you know, and it's not that like it's a lot of work, but you just don't want it to be a chore, even if it's a minuscule thing, you know, because then it becomes like this, you know, burden that I think, you know, I don't want to look at it as a negative. So
yeah,
sometimes I'll just enjoy what I do or enjoy what I use, and that's it. I'll be like, oh yeah, I shaved with it, like, you know, you had just went on and went live prior to this and stuff like that, and I caught it, and it was just like, oh, used Nordost. I used Nordost, but I didn't take a photo, and I feel fine, you know, like yeah, like about it.
Yeah, that's kind of the direction I went. I didn't post nearly as much in 2020 or 2021, and I was kind of in the same boat. I felt the same way, you know, like I could just enjoy this.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
But I don't have to feel like I'm obligated to post this. I can just go on with my day, be happy with my shave. I got my, you know, 10, 15 minutes of therapy in, and you kind of move along.
Not getting enough drama, talking smack, or hooligan hijinks from your regular forums, social media, or Reddit? Well, the Lather Talk Discord is not for you. Sorry to disappoint, but if you're looking for a cool place to hang out with fellow traditional shaving degenerates, come on down to the Lather Talk Discord. Share your shave of the days, mail calls, or talk about your favorite hardware or software and just about everything in between. Once again, that's Lather Talk Discord. Check out the link below.
What is what has 2022 looked like as far as being a hobbyist? Do you think, and it even kind of like, I think you have started a new job anyway, and things are more financially stable. When you kind of re-entered, right? What did that look like as far as like, were certain parts of shaving no longer interesting or anything like that?
Yeah, it's kind of been interesting because, I still don't necessarily, it's not like I have that immediate need to, you know, sort of chase anything again. I've still, even though I haven't been posting or as active like myself, I've still kind of been following people, if that makes any sense. You know, like obviously I still chat with you all often. I still chat with plenty of other guys in the community that I've gotten to know over the years that I've become friends with. And, you know, that, in that sense, it really nothing's changed. And, you know, I still check Instagram and Facebook every now and then and you know, see what's coming out, you know, what artisans are putting out, what new stuff. It's because that never ends. That's always an endless cycle. So, you know, I've still kept up with it in a way, but I haven't felt that need to be like, oh, well, you know, this is coming out now, I'm going to go ahead and grab this. And, you know, I think one of the people I have to blame with that is Shane from Blackland. because, you know, I know we've had this discussion ad nauseum, but the Blackbird Titanium has literally for the last like 3 years made me not want to pick up any other razor. It's so hard to get myself to use any other razor that I've owned. And it's really just the one razor I feel like I could use for the rest of my life and I will be perfectly happy with it. So, you know, it's things like that. It's kind of knowing as well what works for me and what I've just really been enjoying and can't seem to get myself away from. I've found, you know, I'm content with it. It, you know, it's nice to see all these other things out there. And there's a lot of, you know, especially on the software side, you know, that things come out all the time and artisans are still trying to push the boundaries with, you know, performance and with fragrancing. And you know, it's good to see, and I know that there's still a lot of excitement around that. It just, I think maybe at this point I'm more selective now. And you know, that's okay. I can, you know, I'm okay with it.
Any thoughts or opinions as far as kind of the like everything, you know, everything in general? We're just talking about gas prices before, you know, before this, like everything's gotten more expensive, right? But in particular, COVID, directly COVID related or not, like, you know, like hand tied brushes, even like, what do you call it? Like custom straight razors and, you know, more high end, DE razors, like all of it, right? It's probably like, you know, $50, $100 plus, like on top of whatever we were seeing just a few years ago. Do you think, just what's your opinion on all of that?
I mean, it's kind of expected. There's really no way to get away from it at this point. And who knows when things will normalize again, or if they'll ever come back down to what we have been used to. And I guess what we, you know, looking back, we were all kind of spoiled by at this point. It's tough to say. I mean, there's, you know, it goes back to the discussion of like, you know, what is, you know, what's your budget? What is within your means? What are you comfortable willing to pay for X product? It's become more alarming, I think, over the last few months too, like going into 2022. That's really, from what I've seen, you know, around the hobby, that's really what's, you know, the prices have been going up significantly, and it's definitely kind of made me step back and say, wow, like this is this is getting, it's crazy. I get it. It's, yeah. You know, some of these, it's not really, it's not on these artisans. It's the fault is not on their side. It's just the, you know, there's just a lot of limitations right now. And then just, you know, a lot of these products, they just, everything's inflated right now. So it's tough to put any blame on them because it's happening around the world. But, right. You know, at the end of the day, it's really what's ever within your needs and what you're comfortable, you know, paying for and getting for yourself.
Awesome. I know, Gerard, I mean, we haven't directly, tackled that question head on. So I'd love to hear your thoughts if you'd like to share, just like seeing the price creep or just, you know, whatever the price hikes.
I mean, it's like that everywhere, right? You know, groceries, gas, you know, I joked with people when Dollar Tree announced that they would be no longer just Dollar Tree, they would be $1.25 tree, right? And people are like, oh, it's just a quarter. And I'm just like, that's true. But that's a 25% increase in all of their goods. And it's not like my paycheck has increased 25%, you know? But like all these little things are just coming up. And I think for a lot of people, and, you know, finances or whatever aside, right? Like, you know, for us, at least us three in the hobby, you know, we very much like, this is very much a luxury for us, you know, to be able to get a lot of, you know, stuff, right? Mm-hmm. And there are some people that just aren't able to do that, right? And that's fine too. So I think, am I keeping an eye out on, you know, am I more selective? Sort of, but I think maybe it's not so much a reason as of just the, it's just the economy, you know, as of late, sure. As it is just, I've just kind of gotten a lot and I got rid of some stuff, but I've replenished that with quite a lot that I probably should be using. And then in last year, or maybe more in 2020, I was doing it for a while, but I was trying to just go one soap a week, you know, just to like use it during the work week. And then maybe use new stuff or samples over the weekends and stuff like that. And then I got off of that track, you know, but it's definitely something I should probably take a look at again, you know, just to be able to get through product and stuff like that. And then it'll also kind of make me rethink everything. You know, do I need to keep all this stuff or can I get rid of a few things and, you know, open up, not necessarily open up some space for more stuff, just not hoard so much.
But going back to the topic of increased prices, I'm not that I want to dwell on this too much, but just to say my piece, I think this time, you know, as a supply chain, you know, for those reasons, but on the hardware side for razors and definitely for brushes, I always had a fuzzy idea what my cap was, and this is no shade to Declaration in particular, but that's someone who I enjoy their work on brushes, who ties a mean knot, but in my eyes, who bought them fairly infrequently, and a lot of times I got them used. I got one from Ross, actually. So thank you. A beautiful Nebula brush was awesome. But it went from like something that was about $280 USD new to just over, I think, $400 new now. And it's like that quickly. So at the time of recording, my hard stop is like, I would say anything like 300 and above. It's like 299 is, I'll consider it if it's a good brush. But as soon as it like goes up that $1 to 300, I'm like, this is just not cool for me, for my spending. Sorry, Gerard, go ahead.
I mean, as a caveat, like I'll say, knotting service is available from, sure, Scott. And 28 millimeter knotting service is $184. Yes, you can get other much cheaper options as well, but it's not $405, and it's for you, you know, if you want, you know.
Yeah. And I'm okay with that.
Just saying.
Yeah, yeah. And that option is totally okay. But when like the total brush, right? When it goes like just in my head that like I firmly put my foot down on that. And in general, like this past year I kind of cooled it off with brushes. And then Paul over at Trotter Handcraft started making beautiful brushes, and I have two now. I think I'll have a third one soon. But it's within, you know, but budget wise, it's definitely, you know, within means. So, you know, the hobbyist sickness is still there, but just, I know my limits, I guess is what I say. And all this discussion is to go to, I don't talk about financial responsibility, not to say that it's a blanket term for everyone, but that I know with Gerard and Russ, I know when I talk to them about gear and gear I like, they're also very good people that kind of have a level head on, and they're like, should you like, and you know, because they know other life stuff going on, and I think I can trust them to be like, John, that's not a good idea right now, and or you know, jump on the bandwagon and root me on if it's a good decision. So I appreciate that.
Unless you win the Powerball.
Yeah.
Unless you win Powerball or Mega Millions, you know, at that, you know, then in that point, then who cares about those choices? But other than that, yeah, I mean, you know, if being financially responsible means not spending money on a $100 brush, if it means not spending money on a $40 brush, that's one thing.
Of course. Right. And that's what I mean. It's not a blank. The numbers I give are just like my very real numbers. And I don't I don't hold someone else, even the two other guys on the show today. Their upper limits might be totally different, higher, lower, whatever. And it's okay. There's no judgment there. But all that to say, the price hike's like, okay, like I kind of have a more firm idea. Like, okay, that anything over that, my brain just shuts off. So
it is pretty amazing when you kind of get, you know, when you have your back against the wall and yeah. you're kind of forced to make that decision and something like this happens, you do kind of quickly figure out, you know, like what your cap is. I found myself in the same boat at times. I'm like, what am I really willing to spend? And then if you see a number, like it kind of hits, you kind of clicks and you yeah. figure it out pretty quick.
Yeah. Totally.
But I do want to say, I'll go back to Gerard's point about the knotting service real quick. Now, and this isn't just with Declaration, but I obviously Declaration is probably the most well-known amongst, you know, the listeners, but you know, when you get a Declaration brush though, and say, you know, whether or not it's knotting service or like full on Declaration brush, at any point when you're getting it, are you thinking about the resell value of it?
Is that rhetorical or do you want to answer?
No.
it's kind of, I mean, I think it's kind of a valid question because, yeah. you know, the way that people flip stuff and not even just like flip, but just even part with, you know, with their brushes, razors, you name it these days. I mean, a lot of, I feel like the purchase, you know, and the purpose behind it is because you kind of know what it's valued at and what it would resell for. Like Declarations, I mean, I've seen them out there, especially the more recent ones at, you know, the price point that John has mentioned, and they don't seem to have any problem selling for the same price. But, you know, if you have, you know, a Declaration knotted brush, but it's in someone else's handle, doesn't seem to quite hold as much weight or resell value, and I tend to notice them stick around out there for a little bit longer. So I don't know.
No, I think that's a great point, because there's certain commodities or, you know, whatever collectibles you can buy, and sure, in the back of your head you're like, if I don't love it, right, like what can I get for it? And I think we do need to acknowledge that, like, many other things where there's like a specialty market for, there are specifically declaration grooming brush collectors. And, you know, there's definitely a network. In the past, when it was a drop style, right, you would sometimes just buy a brush and then it became trade bait, or you could sell it for the practically the same amount. I would say now that it's like a, was it like a sign up system? I'm blanking a little bit. It changed where
how it used to be,
how it is right now.
Pre-order. There's
Yeah.
Yeah. No. So there's, it's sometimes a combo of a drop. Oh. And then as well as a pre-order system of some other pours, depending, like the drop will be usually a new handle, a new resin pour.
Yeah.
And then the pre-order will be for existing ones, you know, in the past.
Okay. So yeah, like you'll open it up like to X amount of spots, like, okay, this, it'll open up this day and then like 15 spots or whatever. So all that's to say, availability, I know in this past year has kind of, they've become more available. And I think the secondary market, I think we talked about this at some point, where brushers,
yeah, I haven't seen nearly as many people complain about it.
Yeah, about drop style. So I noticed on the BST though, that the declaration brushes, like nowadays in the past few months, they linger longer because more supply is there. And that's great, right? Like where people want to grab one, there is. And I think the prices on the secondary market have lowered as well. So all that's to say, if any listeners out there have been looking to try one, maybe keep your eye out on the secondary market. I think it's a pretty good time.
I don't know if like this is kind of just where it ended up, but you know, the conversation ended up, right? But I mean, I remember one of our first conversation was about like brushes and, you know, like, you know, ultra premium luxury brushes and what. And then there is, you know, maybe we didn't mention it then, but, you know, it's almost like, oh, someone will just buy it and then they'll just flip it, you know, for like $50, $100 more, whatever. You know, they'll buy it for $250, $280, and they'll sell it for $350, $380. And we're just like, man. And then, you know, what was the price point to where people will not flip it?
Yeah.
And I think we're there, you know, because, you know, I'm not seeing necessarily these handles going, you know, being bought at, they're $105. And I'm not seeing them being sold for $425, $450, $500, because no one's doing that.
Yeah,
it's true.
At all. If anything, they're buying it either at cost or a little bit below. Because just it's just that's it, you know. And you know, yeah, maybe Scott has done himself a favor, you know, in that sense. Should probably ask him, you know, if and I don't know if he did that just because of, you know, the flipping issue, you know, but I wouldn't be surprised if it was. But but yeah, I mean, It seems to have leveled off, you know, as far as his brushes are concerned. As far as like other luxury brushes, I feel like they've kind of sold around the same thing. They're not really selling for an incredibly, you know, big amount more than they have been. But yeah, I think we're just at a stage where it's gonna be, it is where it is. I don't see it going anymore, you know, than what it's currently priced at.
Yeah, that's very true. I will say, I think I have seen, because it depends like who is like, who's the new hotness as far as like, you know, each category. And in that hand tying, I'm thinking like Wald is up there now because of, again, it's drop style. It's coming from Germany. It's definitely unique. I know it's kind of polarizing the handle shape, but I will vouch for it. Like, I thought it was kind of weird. The Nimbus, or I always forget the
Nimbus.
Nimbus, yes. And then now I'm just thinking about Rick and Morty. I'm sorry, but like the Nimbus shape, it looked a little funny first, but like in hand, man, it's super comfortable. But I think those have kind of had that effect where they're going over retail price just because more everyone wants to try them and there's none to be had. So
supply and demand, right?
Yeah, I mean, it is economics. And I know sometimes, I don't know, I there's some conversations where people want to blame the artisan, or acknowledgement that like if people wouldn't pay that price, we wouldn't, you know, you couldn't ask for that price on the secondary market. But sometimes when you're making something good and something everyone wants, that's just how economics work. It's just how I see it.
But yeah, like in 5 years, what's it gonna be like? You know, are like black badgers or pure badgers, you know, like are they gonna go away completely? Are they gonna be, you know, as cheap as anything else? You know, is the market gonna, you know, bring the prices down on some of these things? I don't know. It's kind of a curious thing. You know, maybe we should like do a, you know, like a time machine or a time capsule episode, right? Like you know, where we kind of maybe make our thoughts right here, and then who knows where we'll be at in 5 years.
You mean like but, predictions? You want some predictions?
Yeah, just a general prediction on something like the brush market, right?
Okay. I'm thinking. So don't mind me.
I don't know if I had mentioned it on the episode where we had talked about, you know, like declaration and brushes specifically, but I mean, I think I've always had the mindset, especially over the last few years, where I felt like it, especially in brush making, it would be much harder to break out just because of, you know, artisans like declaration, you know, Chisel and Hound now, a lot of these sort of like staples. I think, you know, like soap making, it's I feel like that's also really difficult to get into just because there's so many artisans now, but it seems like there's been an avenue. There's still been new ones popping up here and there fairly often, but you know, like what John mentioned earlier, like Trotter, you know, I hadn't heard of Trotter until like 2 months ago, if that. And it seems like Trotter has really caught on with some folks. It's, you know, it seems like another more like budget friendly option and somebody that has, you know, come up with a design that appeals to people. Yeah. I think that's like in my mind, that's what makes brush making just so hard to get into, because at some point you're going to run out of shapes that, you know, are that feel comfortable, that are aesthetically pleasing, and that really kind of hit that combination of what people are looking for. And so I feel like, you know, it's got to be really hard. And even, you know, I think that would be my prediction. I just don't see many new brush makers popping up in the next 5 years, unless, you know, somebody now decides to close up shop and make way for somebody else to kind of take their place. But it's got to be really hard. So, I mean, kudos to whoever is trying to get into brush making and go big, because I just feel like it's got to be really difficult.
Like when you have something as almost subjective as taste, right? You know, like there are some things that are, I don't want to say universally, you know, like, but there are just some that are, you know, like there's a higher percentage of things that are more aesthetically pleasing, you know, in terms of their looks for people. There are some that are not. So if you're like a new brush maker, like you have to, you know, kind of really look at those things and understand those things rather than say, oh, I just feel like I'm gonna pour some, you know, resin and start making some things, you know. I'll use someone like Vald, you know, even though we haven't discussed anything with them, like everything he's done has been super deliberate, right? The first shape, the strato shape, you know, came out, then he's done the Nimbus, you know, those are the only two shapes he does. Super like big, you know, like quality control, you know, in terms of like his stuff. So like kudos to him and doing that. I don't think everyone has that like same like super, you know, tight vision on that aspect of the hobby.
Man, I'm trying to see like where I want to go for prediction wise, because I do know, for those who might not be familiar with what the to stick with brush making, what that supply chain looks like. You know, where the three of us are here in the U.S. and there's plenty of people who might try their hand at turning a knot. Turning a knot. That's good. That's the bourbon talking. Turning a brush handle, and you know, getting the resins, whether they're getting something that's pre-made or pouring one themselves, right? If you have a little bit of workspace, you could do it on as a side hustle, or even just as a little fun creative exercise. But then, once you want to start selling them, right, you need to hook up and get some knots for it, and that usually means going to China and going through one of three or four distributors, right? But and that's the way it's been. Whether you're in the U.S., whether you're in Europe, wherever, you still got to go to China to get the sourcing for your knot hair. Whether you tie it yourself, whether you get a pre-made knot, and we've seen a lot of we've talked about those improvements on what knots are available. But what I see, you know, what a lot of people have observed is they've gotten wise, and they have social media as well, and are paying attention to what the hobbyists like, and that includes what kind of pours. There's that, what do you call it? Like the resin wood combos, right? Certain shapes and stuff. And sometimes it's ruffled feathers. Sometimes people have to say, hey, that looks like my work you're trying to copy there. And these are things that can't be copyrighted. It's kind of just like a gentleman's agreement kind of thing. Like, right, you know, like you don't try to like directly rip off of something. And that, but there's nothing like legally stopping them. So, given that you can observe, but then if you have the people, like Gerard was saying, the people that have like, hey, let's have some laser focus to it, right? And then can we combine a few elements and make something of our own? I see more of those kind of like really attractive brushes. They obviously have a direct source to the, you know, to the knots, and then they can price it lower. So I don't like that prediction because it's not good for many of the brush makers that we know and love here in the States. But I, you know, that's what I see inevitably happening because it's already started. So that's my, I don't know if that's like a Debbie Downer prediction, but more brushes from China that you're going to.
So you're saying buy AliExpress, buy stock in AliExpress.
A buy stock. I guess so. I mean, it's hard to say because in the back of my head, I'm like, depends what does the global economy look like at that point.
But well, I mean, I'll say this. I think like anything else, competition is always going to come up. So, you know, there will be places that are, you know, mainstays, and you know, should things kind of continue the way they are, they're gonna stick around, right? But yeah, if you're buying, like you said, you know, outside of any political embargoes and sanctions and whatnot that would prevent items from you know making its way over here, or you know greatly basically making it a true like black market experience to where you know like nothing is getting over here.
Oh, gosh.
And stuff like that. Yeah, I mean, it's a possibility that I think things will continue to be competitive. I you know, 5 years ago compared to now, it just seems like, you know, what were the top shaving brushes around, right? Like, was it just like a Simpsons, you know, like was it a Simpsons, you know, Chubby 3 or like a Manchurian or something along those lines? And then now you have, you know, Declaration, you have, you know, Varlet, you have Vald, you have like in terms of hand tides, I'm trying to think, you have Turn and Shave, you have like a few others.
Strike Gold, I believe. Strike Gold.
Strike Gold.
Yeah.
And then at least here in the US, but I mean, is there going to be a new knot shape? You know, it seems like 26 to 28 millimeter fans are the thing. Are we going to go back to bulbs? You know, is it going to be is the beehive going to bounce back? You know, I'm sure you'd love that, John.
Oh, I don't hate the beehive. You mean like for the handle shape?
You know? Yeah. It's okay. You're on live. I get it.
I don't hate the beehive. There's other shapes I hate more.
You know? Or 21 millimeter. You know, are we going to go smaller again? Are we going to, you know, is the Wee Scott going to become a thing? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Is the demand for the Wee Scott going to go through the roof? The Wee Scott, I think, is what? 14 millimeters?
14. Yeah, I have it.
Millimeters. Oh, is it 14? Oh, my God.
Yeah. So, I don't know. I feel and I've asked this question with friends as far as like something like cell phones go, right? I was talking with one of my buddies and we wanted, you know, maybe like 6 or 7 years ago, we're just like, we want a phone with like high definition screens, basically 4K cameras, you know, super like fast, you know, like data speeds, whatnot. And we're there now, like we're here. You know, like we have like the biggest thing that most places are doing is like high refresh rate screens. But now, like, what are top of the line cell phones going to look in 10 years from now? I don't even know. And I feel like it's kind of the same thing, you know, in the shaving hobby. Because I don't think I know. And if I try to make any predictions, I'm probably going to be wrong.
Well, Ross, thank you. This conversation went everywhere. But it's a lot of fun just talking about stuff that's, you know, the state of things right now. Of course, we talked about brushes when we didn't even mean to. But, you know, thanks for thanks for sharing kind of just like what as a hobbyist, what that time has looked like these past few years. I'm sure that's probably going to jive with other listeners out there. So we really appreciate your time and just thanks again for coming on today.
Yeah, thanks for having me. You know, I always feel like, you know, things could change. You know, who knows? Maybe I'll deep dive back into things at some point. But yeah, you know,
yeah,
things are fluid. But yeah. You know, one thing's for certain. I mean, the hobby is not going away, and I still enjoy shaving. So you know, it is what it is. But yeah, thanks for having me. I always enjoy talking with you guys.
We'll try to time it so the next time you're on the show, which would probably be season 4. That you have the beard or the mustache. I think we have to time it. No.
YouTube live shave off.
Oh, yeah. Okay, we can try for that.
Or IG live shave off or whatever. Shave off. Live shave it off.
This can, the way we record this can go live. So we certainly, if Ross is up for that, that'd be something fun to do.
Yeah, we'll see. Yeah,
we would be like, we could be like Gorilla Monsoon and Bobby Heenan and be calling the match.
Will you stop? Oh, jump through the glass. Can you believe it? He tried to escape.
All right, fine. I guess I have to be Bob. I have to be the heel commentator in that case. I'll have to go watch the video.
Give me a few months notice and that
yeah,
way.
Yeah. Oh no. I mean, you gotta grow the facial hair, right?
So. Yeah. Yeah.
So we'll work our schedule around whenever that time comes again for you.
Sounds good.
Awesome. And George, of course, thank you for lending us your time. We know you have a little one screaming right now, so it's a good time to sign off. But
okay, I think he's good.
Okay.
We had to let him out of the cage or something, you know. Thank you, as always.
Jorah is a good father. I just want to vouch for him before we sign off. But listeners, thank you so much for tuning
in. GPS hasn't come by yet this year.
Yes. That's good. Listeners, thanks for tuning in to today's episode. I know we're a bit all over the place, but hopefully the conversation was just as fun to listen to as much as we had having it. You can find all the socials for myself, for Gerard and Ross in the show notes. We are Instagram, where you can find us on other places. But yeah, so thank you again, and we'll catch you next time. Take care. Well, guys, that wraps up another episode of Lather Talk. I just want to thank our good friend Ross again for coming onto the show, just having a casual conversation over some glasses of whiskey. We hope that you guys had a good time listening in because we kind of went all over the place. But I think that's the benefit of having a guest on. That's really just another one of the boys. You get a looser, freer exchange of ideas. And these kind of episodes are just fun to record. And hopefully that translates into a fun listening experience as well. So thank you guys so much for tuning in to today's episode. Also, a big thank you to our supporters over on Patreon. If you guys have the means and would like to support the show, please check out the Lather Talk Patreon. and you can get access to bonus content, behind-the-scenes footage, and other benefits for signing up. Some other ways to support the show: you can leave us a 5-star review over on Apple Podcasts, or if you're watching us on YouTube, please be sure to like, comment, and subscribe. Thank you so much again for tuning into today's episode. We hope to catch you next time. Take care.